For the first time ever, MMA-rated radio is going global, and I'm not just talking about Europe or Central America. No, I'm talking about Australia, and more specifically, we're talking with the king of rock and rumble himself, Elvis Sinisek. How's everything going, Elvis?
Everything's great down here. Thanks for having me on the show.
Great to be talking with you, my man. And before we get started with the interview, I was doing some research about you online, and I don't know if you know this, but I found a website that is being dubbed as the Elvis Sinisek stalker fan page. Were you aware that you had one of those?
I am indeed. There's a website called stalkelvis.com, which is, I guess, a compliment.
How does that make you feel? I mean, the word stalk sort of has some negative connotations around it, but you're okay with that?
Well, I mean, I think most of us think of a stalker in a negative way, but this is more of a positive one. It was done in a little bit more jest. It was just someone I met who was quite impressed with how down to earth I was and how approachable and friendly and open. And he was so impressed, he decided to set up a fan page, but he thought he'd do it a little bit differently, and he called it Stalk Elvis.
Oh, okay. So actually, this is not a, because when I saw it first off, I thought for sure this was a female. I mean, you're a good looking guy and stalker. You know, I didn't think it would be a guy, but it's actually a guy behind the site.
Yeah, it is actually. Surprisingly, he's a bit of a girl sometimes, but no. It's a guy that runs the site.
All right, interesting. Okay, well, now we know how big of a fan base you really do have. And speaking of those fans, I'm sure a lot of them are wanting to know what's going on with your career. The last time we saw you compete was in December of 2007 for Cage Rage. An unfortunate
right.
finish to that bout against Paul Cahoon. We haven't seen you in a ring or cage since, so when can we expect you next to be competing?
Well, I'd really like to be fighting mid this year. I would have liked to have fought earlier this year. I've been chatting to a few promoters lately, some of the big ones in the sports, XC, Strikeforce, HDNet Fights, WEC, things like that. But at the moment, they're all at the "we'll get back to you" stage. So, you know, I'm still trying to push for a match overseas, hopefully maybe Cage Rage again or something like that. But nothing on the books at the moment, but I am working towards it. So any fans out there, please get onto your local promoter and let them know that you want to see me out there fighting.
So just to clear up any rumors or anything, you have not retired. You're not, you know, hanging up the gloves for good. You are very eager to get back into competition.
Oh, absolutely. And I'd like to get out there and fight. I do it because I enjoy it. It's not a career for me. I run my own business, Sinisek Prosh Martial Arts School, and that's what keeps me going day to day. But the fighting is just something a little bit purer, something kind of get the blood flowing.
So I'm surprised that people haven't sort of taken you up on your offer. I mean, you fought in the UFC, you've had some success. Why do you think that it's taken so long for anyone to sign you of those major promotions you spoke about?
Well, I think at the moment there's a lot going on with a lot of those promotions. I know financially some of them are having a look at their books at the moment. I think it's also because the sport has grown suddenly. There's also a big influx of fighters or people who want to be fighters over there, who obviously are going to be a lot more affordable, a lot easier to get to. So I think, you know, it's easier for them to deal with local fighters, because now that the sport's blowing up, you know, as they say, everyone wants to be a fighter.
Has that been a problem for you throughout your career, where, you know, promoters obviously want to try to save as much money as they can? You're based, you know, out there in Australia, and guys just, you know, even you could be one of the top guys out there and a person that they think could match up against a potential opponent, but they just don't want to have to pay for your travel and everything. Has that sort of stopped you from really getting the amount of fights and exposure that you would have liked?
Initially in my career, it pretty much was a big part of it. The only way I was able to get fights when I first started was someone was pulled out and they were left, you know, 2 weeks before, nobody to fight. And because of the distance, they kind of like, they hit me up and I'm like, look, I just want to fight. So I used to take a lot of fights on short notice, just to get out there, to get the exposure, to get the experience. As the sport grew, that changed a little bit. A lot of more of the bigger promotions, it really, you know, the cost of travel compared to everything else now really isn't that much of an issue. Plus, you know, I'm experienced at traveling, so it's not like, they have to worry about whether I'm going to be jet lagged or anything. I've been doing it long enough. I know how long I need to get out there before a fight, so I'm always ready. So generally, no. Maybe with some of the up-and-coming promotions who need to watch their budgets, but nowadays with the bigger promotions, not so much of an issue.
Have you ever considered, all that said, though, moving stateside or closer to the United States to make yourself more of a more attractive fighter to book on one of these shows?
A few years back, yeah, I actually did consider that. I thought about moving over there, finding a big team, an established team, and getting settled in and fighting from over there. But back when it was really, like when I was a bit younger, it was really on my mind. There wasn't a lot of money in the sport. There wasn't a lot of future at that point. So moving over would have been quite difficult because I had, you know, things back here in Australia. I still had debts I had to resolve, and it just would have been very difficult to get it sorted. Now the things have changed, and the sport has blown up, and you've got the money, the exposure. I'm now very much well settled and established here in Australia. I've got my own business, 2 full-time training centers. So now it's just, you know, at this point in my career, it's just not worth me heading over there to focus purely on my fighting.
If you had your druthers, is there one of those promotions out there that you'd like to fight for next?
Actually, you know, I've actually fought in quite a few promotions in quite a few different countries out there, and I have to say I have not met a promotion that's treated me badly. So, no, I mean, I just want to face the best guys that are out there. No particular. I mean, of course, you know, you always want to step onto a big card like, Elite XC's got a big one coming up. I know Strikeforce is doing very well. Not anyone in particular.
Okay, and, you know, you talk about all those promotions out there that are blowing up over here in the United States. For those that don't know a bit about, you know, what the scene is like over in Australia, those that haven't had a chance to check out the MMA scene over there, obviously we've heard of yourself. There's guys like Kyle Noak. I mean, you know that it's starting to grow when you start to see more and more guys coming from Australia fighting in MMA. What's it like? I mean, what's the sort of interest in terms of the general public as well as the media? When you fight, is there, you know, a lot of interest in it? Just trying to gauge how interested the people are over there in the sport.
Yep. Well, no, it is good to see. We've got quite a few fighters: George Sotiropoulos, Soa Palele, Brad Morris, and Kyle Noak, as you mentioned. So we've got quite a few Aussies. Anthony Parosh, who also fought in the UFC. We've got a few more starting to push the international scene, which is great. Back home, it's still a fringe sport. We're still kind of looking for that recognition. We've had a few hiccups in a couple of states here and there. It's kind of gone up and down. And I think at the moment, the media is still a little bit sensationalized about it. So it can go either way. Sometimes we get some fantastic exposure. Sometimes it can be some negative exposure. We're at a good point at the moment. We've got a few good shows happening over here. Warriors Realm, CFC, Cage Fighting Championships, which actually has an event coming up very shortly, Explosion. So we've got a couple of events here which are starting to push the boundaries, have bigger shows, get a little bit more exposure. They've moved into the nicer venues, so we're now out of the smaller, dingy, cheaper venues. So, you know, with that exposure, we're getting more people. And also recently with the movie Never Back Down, this is more from a personal business perspective running a martial arts school. We've got a lot more teenagers coming along going, look, you know, we're interested in training mixed martial arts. So we're at that stage, we're at that cusp at the moment where we're just looking for that little bit more recognition for it to continue growing.
So correct me if I'm wrong, but that sounds a lot like the situation here in the United States. I mean, there are some times where you get great exposure, sometimes where it's bad, but for the general mainstream media, still a lot of sensationalism going on, still a lot of, it's taken a lot long time for them to accept the sport. There are times where it slips through the cracks, but yep. From what you're saying, it sounds to be very similar as the situation here in North America.
I think it's probably a little closer to the time just before Tough, the Ultimate Fighter reality show broke through. We're at that stage just before there.
Okay.
You guys, of course, because with all, you know, you've got so much mixed martial arts now on TV, whether it's pay-per-view or some to free the air. We're at that stage where we've just got a couple of promoters who are now getting onto the pay TV here, just starting to get that little bit extra exposure. We're still probably a couple of years behind there in that regard.
All right. Well, okay. So maybe in a couple of years, as the sport sort of trickles its way down over to your side of the globe, you'll sort of start to enjoy the same type of acceptance that we're slowly starting to gain here. I want to talk to you a bit about your career quickly.
Yep.
You know, you take a quick look at your record under 500, and right away you're saying, okay, well, what's this guy all about? You look at his resume, your resume, and a ton of fights in the UFC, and then you start looking at those fights in the UFC. I mean, you have faced a who's who of the top competitors in your division. I mean, everyone from Jeremy Horn to Tito Ortiz to Frank Shamrock, to Forrest Griffin, to Michael Bisping. I mean, they did not give you an easy time, over here in the States, fighting against these top guys to even have a chance. I mean, obviously, you always want to try to win, but these are, you know, this is the creme de la creme of the division. Is it just was one of those situations where you were a guy that matched up well against those competitors and unfortunately you came out on the losing end? Or, I mean, what other explanation can you have for fighting a consistently a cream of fighters and never having a sort of chance to breathe, so to speak?
Yeah, you're right. You do look at them. If you look at the numbers themselves, it's really not that impressive. But when you look at the history behind the numbers and the information, it's you look at it, there's a lot of world champions, ex-world champions, guys that have done a lot in the sport. And there's a few reasons. One, as I mentioned earlier, a lot of my fights initially were trying to get anything I could, which meant taking fights on short notice. So that meant, I was always, if a big name had an opponent pull out, put Elvis in there. So that's kind of initially where some of the big names like Frank Shamrock, Dave Benito, Jeremy Horn, a lot of those were short notice fights. But what I also did is I established myself as a very competitive fighter. I have good stand-up. I have good grappling. I come to fight, more importantly. I don't fight not to lose. I always fight to win. And because of that, I do put myself on the line. I do take risks because, I don't want to just hold for a victory. I really want to win decisively. My goal is to win by knockout or by submission. And from a promoter's perspective, that's, obviously what they're looking for. They want something that the crowd is going to get excited about. They want to see a fight where there's, some fireworks, whether it's some slick grappling or whether it's some, big hits. And as well, from my perspective, I always look for the stronger fight. I'm not interested in guaranteed wins or, I like to go out there and really push my limit to test myself to, face the best guys out there. And heck, I have. It's kind of a combination of different things. With the distance, they like to make sure that they're getting value for money, I think is probably the best way to look at it. And with myself, I come to fight. I'll take pretty much any fight that's offered to me. And I'm an exciting fighter. So just all those combined together is probably the reason I've gotten so many tough fights or, so many big names in the sport.
Speaking of those big names, any big name out there that you'd love to, your next time out there competing that you'd love to get in the ring or cage with?
I'd love to face any of the top guys, There's guys out there, Chuck, Shogun, trying to think of some of the guys I haven't faced, which is the harder part. Anyone, who is a talented fighter, comes to fight, I just like guys who really push my ability.
Absolutely. I think that's what every fighter is looking for. Before we let you go, I wanted to quickly ask you about LoJack Fightwear. They're the kind of people that helped us get in touch with you. And a very new MMA fightwear based out in Australia, and they're sort of blowing up over here and now making their way into the United States, New Zealand,
that's right.
UK, and Europe. So talk to us a little bit about LoJack.
Well, LoJack is basically, you know, one of Australia's newest and biggest fightwear companies. They've got some fantastic gear out there. You know, being an Australian company and myself being Australian, you know, I'd like to get some hometown sponsors on board, you know, help with their exposure, and vice versa. Them coming up on the international scene will help with my exposure. I also really liked a lot of their designs. I thought they were quite original. They look really good. It's not just stuff that, you know, you wear to a fight show. You know, it's stuff that you can wear out and about and still look good. So, yeah, no, I was really happy with being approached by LoJack, and we sat down, had a chat. You know, we were kind of heading in the same direction. And as I said, the gear looks great, you know.
It definitely looks great.
Yeah, so I was really happy with them. Yeah.
It looks great. I've been on the website. It's lojackfightwear.com to learn more about that. They've also have So Palile on board, as well as yourself, and appear to be blowing up, and great people over there. So I appreciate them helping us out and, you know, hooking us up together, because it was great talking with you, and we look forward to seeing you back competing sooner rather than later, wherever it may be. And good luck with everything over in Australia with your school and the rest of your career.
Fantastic. Yep. Thank you very much. Yep. Thanks to LoJack for all their help. Also, keep an eye out on their website, because we are trying to put together an Elvis Rock and Rumble t-shirt. So for all the fans out there who are interested, watch the website for future developments. And as you said, I really would like to be fighting out there sooner rather than later. So, you know, all my fans, keep an eye out. I have my own website, elvisinasic.com. You know, I'm on MySpace, Facebook, all that sort of stuff. So if you want to find out what I'm doing, look me up.